So I know the reality of this is probably going to be a little hard because summer attendance patterns are so sporadic, but if you join us over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk a lot about bread. A lot. In fact, every week has a topic about bread. So, Sheldon, you can get to work coming up with your bread puns for the next couple of weeks. I hope you can rise to the occasion. But seriously, the feeding of the 5,000 is by far one of my favorite stories of Scripture. I love it so much that I use it and talk about it quite a lot. And I particularly like the artwork that is encapsulated at Tabgha, which is the historical site in Galilee where we believe the feeding of the 5,000 happened. There's a mosaic at the foot of the altar that depicts a basket with 4 loaves and 2 fish. And you might say, but wait a minute, they got it wrong, right? No, the 5th loaf was always on the altar table. And so it's an amazing reminder for me that this feeding of the multitudes is something that is still real for us and continues to go on in our world. This story was so popular in Scripture that it actually makes its way into all 4 of the Gospels. I mean, Jesus' birth didn't even make it into all 4 of the Gospels, just 2. And early liturgical scholars, people who studied the way Christians worshiped at the very beginning of the Christian movement when we were still followers of the way, said that when Christians gathered on Sunday, they recounted this story before they recounted the Last Supper and the night that Jesus was betrayed. So there is something fundamental about who we are as Christians that is tied to this notion of God feeding us. And we know from our first lesson that this is not something that Jesus just started doing. This is something that God has been doing for us throughout the history of people, that God has been providing and feeding for us. So we remember that God provided manna in the wilderness, and we know that Elisha fed the people. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene and starts feeding them too, it's a reminder for the people that this is truly a person of God. For we too are reminded of being a people of God when we show up in the world helping others find bread to eat. Now, the amazing thing about this story for me is just how profoundly human it is, how the disciples freak out about what they don't have, and Jesus says, "Nah, man, I got this. I got this." Especially in John's gospel, because it writes that little editorialized part. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But when we look at the world's needs, how often do we say, well, I don't have enough, or I'm not enough? And we think about what we don't have rather than what we do have. I mean, that's kind of the trap of being in this world that thinks about scarcity rather than abundance. And yet we have this gospel and this good news in the Bible that constantly tells us about the boundless riches of God that are beyond measure, as Paul says in Ephesians. And yet we worry about not having enough. And so in the story of the 5,000, the disciples say, well, there's this little boy here of no consequence who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, probably smoked dry fish. This was not the food of the wealthy. This was the food of the poor who probably spent days and weeks out in the fields. It needed to be shelf stable and sustainable. So Jesus looks around and he says, bring it here. Bring it here and blesses it and gives it to the people. And that little bit is more than enough to feed. And I know that this story is true because I know in the children's sermon I talked about the image of communion and never having enough. But do you know I've never been to a potluck that ran out of food? I mean, seriously, I would have to be hard-pressed. I mean, there's usually at least some kind of grandma's macaroni casserole that's left over. Or, you know, when Steph feeds people, there's always more than enough. And even our own dinner church, we have never run out of food. Never. Because God provides an abundance that no matter what we give, when it is blessed by God, It multiplies in miraculous ways. So full confession. I know that the limited commodity that many of us have right now is our time. Our time. And how precious that is to us. It's not something we can make more of. So I want to say that I am thankful for your time in this space, for worship, for service, and for doing the ministry that God would have us to do. And the thing that I think is the most miraculous multiplying of fish and loaves today is that when we give a little bit of our time, our talents, or our treasures, God multiplies that in abundance. And we are able to do difficult things together. We can look at the world and say, no one should live homeless. We can look at our community and say, no one in Conshohocken should ever be hungry. We can look at our schools and say, kids should not have to grow up with systemic racism. We can look at the injustices of this world and by giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures, God blesses it and brings about a bountiful harvest. Because at this banquet table, there are no limits. There are no limits to this table, and God shows us that each and every week. So as we, fed and forgiven people, are sent into the world, remember to take that bread of life with you. Remember the miracles of God to multiply in abundance in our lives and in our world. Because that's what it means to be a disciple who is fed by the very bread of life, Jesus. Amen.